On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Be more funny!
This is Audio Whiplash on the Tall Can Audio Network. Follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at facebook.com/tallcanaudio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Audio Whiplash podcast. My name's Matt Robinson. Thanks, as always, for checking out the show. We're going to be joined in just a second by my usual co-host, Rob Christie, and AJ Jakubek of TSN 1200. As many of you will remember, we had AJ in studio a couple of weeks ago on an episode of Tall Can Sports, where we were talking mostly about the CFL season, the Ottawa Red Blacks, some of the, you know, big moves that had been made across the season, and actually, if you're into such things, the CFL season has gotten off to a super interesting start. And some of the things that AJ said on the show have proven to be very fascinating in hindsight. So I don't want to give any spoilers on that, but the show remains actually pretty good right now in terms of, you know, it not having expired as time passed. So if you want to go back and check that out, I believe it's Tall Can Sports number 332. It's available at tallcanaudio.com or wherever you get your podcast. But we're going to talk to him today about some of his travels. And this happened the last time AJ was over as well, as he's been on a few times with us. And he's a world traveler, spends all kinds of time on the road. And then on his vacations, he shoots over to Europe or God knows where else in the world and tours around all kinds of things. We talked to AJ about some of the countries he saw. We actually got into some of the interesting, you know, geopolitical things that have stirred up there in the wake of so many world wars and all the interesting history that has spawned. Of course, we'll also talk about some of his favorite beers that he discovered over there, maybe which countries are leading the way in terms of hottest women. Just a couple of guys sitting around having a couple of beers and talking about the world, right? So we're going to get into that a bit with AJ. We were really, really grateful. He gave us so much time. Like I said, we were able to turn it into this whole separate episode. So we'll get to him in just a second. If you want to follow along, we love interacting with you guys. You can do so at Tall Can Audio on Twitter or at Tall Can Audio on Instagram. We're also at facebook.com/tallcanaudio. And if you want to support the show, if you're into what we're doing and you want to support and get a little bonus content, things like that, we do have a Patreon. We're set up at patreon.com/tallcanaudio. So those are all the places you can kind of interact with us. We're really excited that you're along with us today for our chat with Rob and AJ. We'll get to that right now. Rob's over there. What's up, man?
Not much. Just taking it all in.
And, we are excited to have back in studio. Guys joined us once or twice before from TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, man. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, my pleasure, Matt. Rob, what's going on? Good to be here.
This is a thrill for us, man. You've done some good stuff for us in the past on the phone and in studio. You know, it's good to have you back. Wanted to touch a little bit before we get into. I know a lot of people are anxious to have your take on the CFL, on a couple other things going on. But the last time you were on, you had just completed a trek through Europe, and. It seems like you just did it again. Where'd you hit this time? What was the trip like?
Yeah, well, I've in just over a year now, because last year I took my vacation in April and May and went from 6 countries visited to 13, and now I'm up to 19 countries visited. So I went in February, March this time because I knew, okay, Last year, I knew there was a decent chance that there'd be a solid window between hockey season and football season. But this year, I knew 67s, they're going deep in the playoffs. Yeah. This is a real good team. Yeah. And, of course, they did. Made it to the final. It was a really fun run. So in February and March, I knew, okay, well, this is my window, because if they even reach the league final, as it turned out, ended on the Sunday, and rookie camp for the Red Blacks started on the Wednesday. So that would have been a very short vacation had I waited like last year. So, yeah, I went in February and March, took 24 days, and it was Belgium, Holland, Spain, one night in Frankfurt. Then I did Budapest, Vienna, Slovakia, and then finished in the motherlands again in Poland and Ukraine. So it's a great 3.5 weeks. It was stupid. So here's some travel advice for you. So it was very stupid. I enjoyed it. It was 17 cities in 24 nights. So I had a stretch, and basically it was super fast paced to start, and the plan was to kind of slow it down near the end. So I wanted to go somewhere that was going to be warm. So I wanted to go to Spain, because that's probably as warm as it gets on the continent.
Yeah.
When you're talking about February, March, I wanted to go to Belgium and Holland, because my second European trip in 2002, I had planned to go to Belgium and Holland, and I came back early after 3.5 weeks. And so I wanted to hit Belgium and Holland. And then last year I did Germany, Czech Republic, Lithuania, Poland, Ukraine, Belarus, and finished in Dublin before going home. I had planned to do Budapest, Vienna, Bratislava, but I realized partway through the trip, you know what? I'm not going to be able to do it. And I kind of took my time.
Right.
And enjoyed the places I was at. So that was kind of the plan. And then it was like, okay, well, I'll see where I'm at by the end. So anyways, it was 5 days in Holland and Belgium, which is, you know, like it was two nights in Amsterdam. It was a night in Rotterdam. I saw Bruges. I went to Ypres to see the World War I stuff and Flanders Field.
Yeah.
Ghent, a little bit in Brussels. And then I flew to Spain, and it was 2 days each in each of Barcelona, Valencia, and Madrid before I went to Frankfurt to see my buddy and go to a soccer game, and then it was on to Budapest. So that was fast.
Yeah.
Then I did two nights in Budapest, and then here's where it got stupid, because for whatever reason, this was supposed to be, well, the relaxing time where I spent, you know, maybe 3 or 4 nights in a city and just relaxed and whatever. So after my two nights in Budapest, let's start with that as night one, right? The second night.
Right.
The next night I went to Vienna, spent 24 hours, saw basically everything you could imagine in Vienna in 24 hours. Right. A hockey game, a soccer game, the palace, the big church, went to a schnitzel place, went to a coffee house, went and had schnapps, went to, you know, like I went everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to move on. So that's two and two nights.
Right.
Then I did Bratislava. It was a cool place. It was a Monday, but it was sleepy, and I moved on to Košice. Of course, Bratislava and Košice hosted the World Championships this year. So saw a hockey game in Košice, and it was kind of sleepy on a Tuesday. And I'm like, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And I was like, I was debating, do I go to Ukraine? Do I go to Romania? And in the end, I ended up thinking I was going to Ukraine through Poland, but I ended up staying in Poland for longer than I expected. So night five in a row was in a place called Katowice, where I saw a soccer game. Then night six, I went to Wrocław and Poznan, two great cities. And
cities in one night.
And, well, in one day, yes.
Sure,
but
fair enough, yeah.
And in Poznan, I went to a place that actually had a Jakubek bar.
Hey.
I walked past a bar that said Jakubek, and I'm like, this is heaven. I should have stayed here longer. Then I went to Gdansk, and then I flew to Lviv and in Ukraine. So it was eight cities in eight different nights. And by the end of it, and I didn't even realize it, because, like, this was supposed to be the slower part of the vacation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And by the time I got to Lviv, I was like, what the hell am I doing? This was the stupidest thing ever.
I'm fatigued.
Like, it was awesome to go and see all these different places.
Yeah.
but I will never travel like that again. It was crazy to do 17 places in 24 nights. And by the time I got to the end, my second last night, I got sick.
Right.
And so I was like, well, at least I didn't get sick on the second day right? Yeah. But awesome trip. Went to 11 soccer games. One hockey game. I mentioned in Slovakia, like I saw some really good soccer games. I saw Ajax and Real Madrid in the Champions League.
Wow.
Atletico Madrid against Juventus in the Champions League.
Some big boys.
Eintracht Frankfurt against Shakhtar Donetsk in the Europa League. Saw another Europa League game in Bruges, a game at Rapid Vienna, a game at Ferencváros in Hungary, a Polish Cup semifinal game. It might have been quarterfinals. It was one or the other. Saw a derby in Lviv in Ukraine where the fans started throwing the seats on the field and lighting stuff on fire.
There's a soccer feel to it.
So
right? That's what you want to get.
It kind of had a little bit of everything, but I'm hooked now, right? Like I've always been a huge travel guy, but I've mainly traveled in North America. I've done all 50 states. I've done 8 of the 10 provinces. I'm hoping to get PEI in New Brunswick done so I can get all 10.
PEI is good, but
I still need to get it done, right?
Yeah,
if I've done all 50 states,
Course,
I've got to do all
and
10 provinces.
So it's
one of those things where, okay, I've seen a lot of North America, but like now I'm really getting kind of hooked on seeing other parts of the world. And now it's like already I'm thinking, okay, like when can I be stupid with my money even more? And rather than save it like a smart guy, go out and what am I going to do next year for Europe? Do I do Romania? Do I do Greece? Do I maybe hit Mexico for the first time because I haven't done it, or Japan or something
sure,
like that?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I love travel. I mean, material things are great, but you know, to me, the experiences of going and seeing different things, and especially when you go in a place where English isn't your first language, and it's pretty cool. It's a rush. So yeah, another awesome trip. What can I say?
Okay.
Well, I got two, just before Rob jumps in here, I got two questions for you based on the trip,
and I got three. So
best. What do you say? 19 countries or?
I'm at 19 now. Yeah. So,
who's got the best beer? And beyond that, out of you just piled on a pile of different soccer games and stadiums you've been to, whatever. Who's got the best atmosphere?
Okay.
So I don't need a specific brewery, but I need a country.
You know what? I'd have to say Germany with beer because the thing I like about Germany is every city has like a different type of beer, right? Like you go to Cologne and it's Kolsch.
Sure.
And then you go an hour up the road, it's not even an hour, but to Dusseldorf and it's alt beer. And it's Apfelwein actually, which isn't beer, but in Frankfurt and Gosa in Leipzig. And so like there's different beers in different areas and there's just so many good beers. And to me, like the biggest thing about Germany too is I just love their liquor laws. The fact that you can walk right into a convenience store and like on a day like today where it's finally beautiful out, right? Imagine being able to just, you know what, you're having a nice walk. You know, you're walking in whatever park you're walking in or whatever. Imagine being able to walk into a convenience store, grabbing a beer and just walking with it. And guess what? There's no anarchy in the streets.
No,
like everything works just fine. So well,
government officials right now pushing for that.
Yeah,
so we may get there.
Yeah,
we may get there.
Treat you like no, he's talking about drinking in the street too.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And so
quite, I guess, but that's a little like Vegas or I've been to the Bahamas and they let you do that, right? Like
I love Germany though. Yeah. I really do. They do a lot of things well. There's some people that I was warned by a couple of German friends. They're like, "You know what? Just so you know, people aren't as friendly there." And they're right.
Really,
like small talk. It doesn't mean there aren't good people and you can't find friendly people.
Sure.
But it can be jarring, right? That was a good warning because like typically you kind of go up to people in other places. "Hey, I'm from Canada." Like you go to the States and it's like, "Hey,
Or
like you're in Britain or you go to Lithuania and it's like, and they're like, "What are you doing here?" Right. And then it's like, and then they welcome you. And then like I found this with a few different people there and it's like, "Oh yeah, as if like, what do I care? Like they give you that, they give you that kind of like feeling that you don't really get anywhere else, or at least I had from a couple of people there.
Yeah. You might as well have had the American flag on your backpack. Is that kind of the,
But the bottom line is like, I did meet some awesome people there, and like, there's a lot of things there that it's kind of like, geez, I wish things ran. Like, you can see why, you know, they're such a successful country in terms of the efficiency and just what they do there. And you talk about atmosphere, like the beauty about Germany is it doesn't matter. And I haven't been to a basketball game, but I know having been to hockey games there and having been to soccer games there, you could have tiddlywinks there. You could, you know, handball, basketball, whatever. Yeah, yeah. There's such a great sporting fan nation, culture in Germany. And it, you know, you go to a Ice Baron Berlin game.
Right.
And I saw them in the final last year against Munich, and there's 12,000 people there, and it's as good an atmosphere as you'll experience anywhere in hockey. And every soccer game I've been to there, whether it was Eintracht Frankfurt or FC Köln in Cologne or Bayern Munich, who have this reputation as like having boring, quiet fans. I'll tell you, like, compared to other places, they're not. Maybe in Germany they are. Dynamo Dresden, RB Leipzig, who's maybe not as loud, but Borussia Dortmund, who have the famous yellow wall and the 25,000 people in the one stand behind the goal. Like, it doesn't matter where you go. You're going to get, like, if you said, well, I'm going to Germany, which game should I go to? It's go to as many as you can. First division, second division, third division, hockey, basketball, handball, whatever, just because you are going to get an experience when it comes to just how the fan culture is in Germany.
Right, right. You had three, you said.
Yeah, okay, well, and they're short. And as he's going across the continent, right, and I'm thinking, as somebody who's traveled quite a bit myself, having been through Budapest, having been through Vienna, I'm going to put you on the spot. Most beautiful
most
women.
Most of our listeners.
Honestly.
There you go.
It has to be Budapest.
Oh, it's going to be hard to beat. Like, I'm partially biased because of the motherland, but Ukraine, Poland, Lithuania, of all those places, and Belarus, like, they call that area, there's a book called The Bloodlands, and it's an excellent book. I'm going on a completely different area now, but basically between 1933 and 1945, between the two worst humans probably in the history of the planet, and I'm sure some people would say Mao, and they wouldn't be wrong either, but
Rob Christie.
But between those two, with Stalin and Hitler, tens and tens and tens and tens and tens of million people died in what they call the Bloodlands. Yes. And it's basically the six countries are Ukraine, Belarus, Poland, Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia. And
it's just a pathway.
It's like, for me, I kind of get chills in that area, again, partly because of heritage, but just partly because of the history and just, you know, how... I mean, you know, you talk about the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and my grandpa was in the Air Force and, you know, stationed in England, you know, in World War II, right? So I have the greatest respect for just the sacrifice and the courage that anyone that signed up to you know, for our freedom, right? I mean, we enjoy our freedom today because of that, right? And you know, the carnage on that side of the war was brutal and something that you can't even ever imagine.
You're talking about the Eastern Front.
I'm starting with the Western Front.
You're still talking
I'm starting with the Western Front. But then when you look at the Eastern Front and you see how horrific it was on that side and just the brutality, like as brutal as it was in the West, I mean, it was that much more brutal and savage in the East because part of the reason is Hitler viewed the Slavic people, much like he viewed Jewish people and gypsies and Roma and that sort of thing, people with disabilities, he viewed that entire group of people as subhuman.
Yes.
And so while he was at war in the West, in the East, it was more about ideology. And so, like, basically... their tactics in the East was don't treat these people as humans. And so because of that and because of how the Soviets under Stalin did not care about their own his own people's lives.
Yep.
And then
Stalin, and then he was after willing to just keep throwing bodies at it, as was Hitler. Like,
yeah,
we'll just do this forever, right? Like, and it became this horrible.
Well, and that's the thing. And then after that, once the war had turned, then all of a sudden you had, you know, all these kind of revenge type killings the other way. And it's just horrible. Everything that happened in World War II was horrible everywhere.
Yeah.
But in particular, from between Germany and Russia, just the horrors of the war were just unthinkable. And when you go to some of these places, you go to a place like an Auschwitz, for example, it's just like, it's surreal to be in a spot like that and to think that our humanity is capable of something like that.
It's a pretty thin veneer, the humanity, right? It's very, lick your thumb and give it a good rub. Not always happy with what's underneath that.
But to answer your question, and sorry, I took this and
this is good.
The women of the Bloodlands, the women of, and you can include Russia. I haven't been to Russia. I'd love to go.
Yeah.
But the Baltic countries, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine, Poland. I mean, there's beautiful women everywhere. That's the beauty of being a single heterosexual male.
Yes.
But in the difference between those countries is, like, if you look at the ratio, one of the big misconceptions about Ottawa is that the ratio is like, how many people have you talked to that have thrown out the myth that the ratio is like 3-1, or I've heard as much as 7-1 women to men because of government. And it's not like you go online and it's like literally 1.01-1. Like it's not. So that it's one of the biggest myths about Ottawa, but you actually go and you look at Belarus and Ukraine in the Baltics, Poland a little less, but in those five countries in particular, and it's literally like 0.85-1. Like, it's the best ratio of women to men on the planet, and you've got all these beautiful women there. It's okay. Quite the place. Let's just leave it at that.
All right. And really, I've asked that question, but you went in a fascinating way. And because Matt and I touched on a previous Whiplash, we talked about the 75th anniversary, and the untold story in the West, for the most part, is, right, the huge price that the Soviet Union paid, and we don't get that history here.
And the bigger thing that I came away with, and again, I should have known better because of my heritage, and you're focused on the Canadian angle
for sure, yeah.
And the Canadian angle, that's kind of, those two world wars were kind of where we came of age as a country, right? So and again, I'm fortunate that, my grandfather was able to, to show the courage to join the Air Force, and he came back, and anyone that came back from that, you're just so thankful for that.
Of course.
The one thing I'll say about 1945 is in 1945, I wasn't around, obviously, but Canadians and people in the West could celebrate the end of the war.
Yeah.
The reality is people, for example, in the Bloodlands and the Soviet sphere, which ended up, the quote unquote behind the Iron Curtain and the Warsaw Pact and all that, those people didn't celebrate until 1989 because they were facing oppression.
Yep.
There was no celebrating in 1945. If you're in Poland, all of a sudden, finally, the Germans, like the big thing about Warsaw, and Warsaw got leveled worse than any other city in World War II. I mean, you look at some of the aerial shots of Warsaw in 1945, and it's just staggering that, they're able to rebuild it. And basically, the Soviet troops, While the Germans decided, we don't like the fact that you did this Warsaw Uprising. You know what? Hitler says, level it. Level the city.
Yeah.
Don't leave anything standing. The Soviet troops were on the edge of the city. And this isn't forgotten there. Trust me. This is not forgotten by Polish people. And they just sat there and waited while the Germans destroyed Warsaw. Because they didn't want these Polish people to have their own independence. No. And they wanted them as part as the Soviet sphere, right? So there's when you go to a place like Poland and Lithuania in particular, and it's probably starting a little bit more in Ukraine now that they're kind of veering further away from Russia, there's as much anti-Soviet sentiment as there is anti-German sentiment
right.
in terms of what happened in World War II. Because let's not forget, Poland, like the whole World War II was started, and they invaded through Gdansk and all that stuff, and all right, here we go, World War II started. Well, they came up with the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, and the other half of Poland was divvied up and given right to the Russians.
Yeah.
So, like, that's and once 1945 hit, it wasn't like, you know, and Ukrainians were in the same boat, and Lithuanians were in the same boat, Latvians were in the same boat. They're all in the same boat where, like, you're these people were fighting each other at times in the war because they didn't know which side to pick. It's right. like, we want to get away from Stalin. Now Hitler's coming in. Like, one of the big mistakes Hitler actually made was because he viewed these people as subhuman, he comes in and, you know, rather than kind of recruiting them to fight against Stalin and the Soviets, kind of like with what happened with the Finns in the war,
yeah,
he basically treated them as subhumans and poorly, and you know they ransack villages and burn towns and you know massacre basically innocent civilians and everything that happened. And it's like, okay, well, like what's the lesser of the two evils here? And you had actually at times in the war, for example, Ukrainians fighting against Ukrainians on both sides, yeah, because they weren't really sure like which of the two evils they should join to basically have their own survival.
See, because as you said, the Finns had it easy. They didn't necessarily agree with Nazi ideology. It was, do I get to kill Russians, right? It was simple. There was nobody at their backside. And
people forget about the Russian-Finnish war, right? 39-40.
For sure, no.
So all of a sudden when, you know, the Germans came in and the Germans didn't view the Finns as subhuman, like they did with the Slavic people in between them and Russia, and they didn't have any designs for living space, like the Lebensraum or whatever that they wanted for their people. So it was easy for them to collaborate. I don't rip on, some people like to rip on the Finns because, oh, you joined the Nazis. Well, they did it out of self-preservation because they didn't want to be oppressed by the Russians.
This is it. And that's all I'm suggesting too is, I'm going to pick my spots and what's best for me.
Yeah. Horrible time. I don't know why I brought this up.
For sure. This is good. I know Rob wants to ask you a little bit about...
Wait. One more thing though. As somebody who is, I've been through sort of Ljubljana in Slovenia, in through Budapest, into Vilnius in Lithuania. I've sort of hit that whole corridor, sort of former Soviet era. And it's interesting as you make your way through those areas, it's nice to sort of come in and hit an area or a region where you can see those things. Like you look at in Budapest, there's still areas where they have that very Soviet era big block buildings with open spaces that are all throughout Vilnius as well, right? You see that very Cold War era Soviet chic, if you will, right? In terms of, and you have that when you hit that area as you have, right? And it's kind of nice to have that knowledge and you're able to pick up some of the threads through the different places, right?
Yeah, I love the architecture in some of those places. I know a lot of people don't like it, but kind of the wide streets. It's fascinating to me in some of the buildings. The other thing I have to say about Lithuania, and I think this is, I haven't been to Latvia yet. That's another one of those places that was on the list
The Baltics are beautiful.
But I'll say that I'm sure Latvia's like this, and I'm sure Estonia's like this, but the people in Lithuania, friendliest people I've ever met, but boy, are they proud to be Lithuanian. Right. And you know what? It truly is amazing. Like, they recognize that it's a miracle that they're even a country, right?
For sure.
I mean,
small.
The fact that, you know, they get invaded at the early part of World War II by the Soviet Union, and then incorporated into the Soviet Union, and then all the people that, you know, in the 40s and 50s that basically got sent to Siberia.
Yeah.
They broke up all these families. They put in all these Russian people into Lithuania to try and kind of I think they call it Russophile.
Russify.
And basically, you know, turn it into a Russian state, right? And so the fact that, you know, these little countries of like 1 million and 2 million people were able to kind of survive that, you know, maintain some culture and language, and then they were the first ones to be independent.
Right. That's a big shout out to our Belfast listeners. You don't know anything about that, right?
I don't. but this, like, just the fact that they were able to become a country is kind of miraculous, and they kind of know that. And when I saw a Lithuanian hockey game last year against Japan, World Championships, it was the third division.
They
got promoted to the second. Now this year they got relegated back to the third. But like, you can just see the passion about how, and then Latvia played earlier, and you'd think, oh, it's Lithuania, it's Latvia, maybe they're big rivals, and they're cheering Latvia. Like, they're, or sorry, Estonia was playing earlier, because of course Latvia is in the first division. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. Estonia was playing earlier, and you again,
Leo Komarov,
is it a rival? Homemade. No, it's they're just so proud of the fact, and they should be, that they're actually a country. And that, you know, when leaving those places, leaving Lithuania in particular, you know, I'd love to go back there because I love the people, and I just loved how proud they are of the fact that, you know what, they survived all this stuff, and here they are. They're an independent country with, you know, the Soviet Union and now Russia, you know, and a belligerent Russia at that, there on their doorstep.
So, I'm cutting you off this time. Uh-huh. I want to ask, I know, you know, you've done this trip a couple of times now, and it doesn't sound like the travel bug has been resolved.
No, it's not. It's far from.
Then I know Rob wants to talk to you a little bit about, you know, this. There's a Netflix series now coming up on Chernobyl, maybe what your feedback is.
But I need to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I'm two episodes in. Dynamite.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things.
But if you're going to go back, if you're going to do this again next year or the year after or whatever, what's the roadmap this time? What countries are still out there that you're like, this, I'm there next, or I have to hit this again, I have to see a little more of that? You know, what's next?
It depends on time of year, right? Because here's the thing. Like, I'd love, the places that I'd love to see the most in Europe right now, I'd love to see the Scandinavian countries because my mom, that's her background. So,
right.
Norwegian, Swedish. So I'd love to go to Norway, Sweden, Latvia. Sorry, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, but also Latvia and Estonia.
Right.
Like I was supposed to do the first time, and Russia. But here's the thing. Like, what are you thinking of when you think of those countries? You're thinking weather.
Yeah.
So like February, March. Like if next year I did February, March again.
Hey,
am I really going to do all those countries February, March?
I'm going to drop a nugget on you. As somebody who's been to Sweden, been to Denmark in February, man, Copenhagen doesn't get any snow hardly anymore, right? You're hovering between -2 and +2, right into southern Sweden through Malmo, up almost to Stockholm. Don't be afraid of the weather.
I'm not afraid of -2.
Yeah, snowy, yeah.
Right? I'm afraid of -20. And
you're going to be fine.
Honestly, well, the way I planned this last trip was kind of around the weather. Like, the first 11 days were planned. Belgium, Holland, Spain for 6 days. And then it was like, okay, what's the weather going to be like in Vienna, Budapest, and Bratislava, and kind of so on and so forth. And that was part of the reason why I decided, oh, it's going to be +6 there? Perfect. See ya. Like, I'm off, because it was 14 to 17 in Spain. I don't mind a +6, but when you were leaving the winter that I left, and all of a sudden, if I'm like 3 days out and I'm going into a blizzard in one of these places, I'm kind of thinking this is maybe not the best idea.
I'll change my train.
Well, and again, Malmo, I think in the summer only hits 18 or 20, right? That is high weather, right? And Celsius I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So it sort of hovers between -5 and +20, right? So to me, you're going to be fine, but that's just one guy's. But it is wet, as Matt said, and damp as hell, right? So to me, sometimes I've never been colder than in Denmark or in
Here's the other
Sweden.
Problem with the first places on that list. versus, say, Latvia, Estonia, Russia. Norway isn't cheap. Sweden isn't cheap. And, well, and Denmark, Finland, they're not cheap.
No. Well, and they live.
There's a reason people from Helsinki take the ferry to go to Tallinn to go and have some pints, because I'm not all that crazy about going to Oslo and spending $200 for an Uber to get to get from the airport to downtown. Jeez. I know you can take a train for $20 to $30, but I looked that up. I'm like, wow. And $18 beers and that sort of thing. Like, jeez, look, I want to go.
Yeah, it's true, man.
But
it's true.
I also appreciate going places where let's be honest. I appreciate even like anything $5 or less when you're talking about a beer is like right in my kind of wheelhouse.
Yeah. South America, baby.
Well, that'll be on the list a little bit later in life, but I still have too many places.
You'd kill it in Rio.
Get a little, you know where I want to go is Colombia.
Oh, man.
I've heard good things about Colombia. I heard it's safer than it used to be.
Okay.
That comes from a guy that I hung out with in Barcelona who's from Chicago and has been to Colombia a couple of times recently. Hmm. He was raving about Colombia. So that might be number one on my list in South America.
All right. I took, just before we move on, I took Russian history in university.
Oh.
And so when you look at through the years, right, just the ass kicking they took off of the Lithuanians, the Poles, the Swedes, the Ukrainians, like honestly, for, I don't know, we're talking 500 years, they just took a shit kicking from everybody, right? And then, and you wonder how they develop this sort of xenophobic thing that they got going for them. It's a fascinating history, Russia. And so, yeah, you're right in it. You're soaking that all up.
Have you been to Russia?
I have not been to Russia.
Okay. And you've done Russian history.
Yep.
You got to add that to the list.
I originally wanted to teach history. That's what I went to school for, was to teach, and I became a librarian instead. But
I'm fascinated with Stalingrad, which is now Volgograd. And so mainly because of just, you know, the battle at Stalingrad. So that's like, if I go to Russia, it's not just like Moscow, St. Petersburg. Like, I want to go to Stalingrad.
Yeah.
I want to go to a couple places. I've heard
almost a million people that died.
Yeah.
In the siege.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I've heard Yekaterinburg and Kazan are really nice too.
Pavel Datsyuk's new team.
So, yeah, that's right. That's where he's from, is Yekaterinburg.
Yes.
I really only have a one track.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I've heard good things about all those places, though. So many great places in the world to go everywhere. And so we're also limited in terms of time and budget.
Sure.
You know what happened to me in Budapest? Like, and this happens, right, when you get into a new country sometimes. Like, I got ripped off a couple of times. I got ripped off by...
You got to have your wits about you.
Yeah. Well, I got ripped off by a cab.
Okay.
And, well, because you can take the cab from... So when you get into town, you take... When did you go?
I was there twice. I was there in 98 and I was there again in 03.
Okay, so what they have now, they probably didn't have this before. You get to the airport and you line up for a cab... And you tell this person in the booth where you're going. They give you a ticket. You show it to the cabbie. You've already paid.
Yeah.
So basically, you're not going to get ripped off. So, and you know how far out the airport is.
That's a ways out.
So it was like a $28 or 28 euro cab. And then like later on that trip, someone was charging me to go across town, which was half the distance. It was a 15-minute ride.
Yeah.
It was like they were charging me like 45. Okay. And I'm like, well, what do you mean 45? It was cheaper to go to get to the airport, right? And he's getting all mad. And it's like,
you need to deal with some Beijing cab drivers. There, my friend,
I believe it.
A wicked experience.
Man, so there goes AJ. Like I said, off the top, we were really excited. He gave us so much time. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that he had to say there was super interesting, but just didn't really fit into the episode of Tall Can Sports that we had going on. We were talking CFL. We were talking about Women's World Cup, stuff like that. But we did want to use it. And it seemed like a perfect time to turn it into an episode of Audio Whiplash. So that's what we did. So thanks once again to AJ Jakubek, TSN 1200, for being so generous with his time. He is the voice of the Ottawa Red Blacks. If you want to check them out, All their games are on TSN 1200. You can hear AJ's work there. And of course, just throughout the year, he also works with the Ottawa 67s of the Ontario Hockey League, and just sometimes hosting on some of the talk shows there at TSN 1200. So really interesting guy. Really glad that he was able to drop in. That's going to do it for this episode. We were glad that you came along and checked it out. If you want to follow along, we're at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram. We're at facebook.com/tallcanaudio and patreon.com/tallcanaudio is where you can get some bonus stuff and support the show. And while you're here, wherever you're listening now, make sure you're subscribed right there on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you might be listening. We've had some other great stuff going on here. We had Mike Comito, author of the book Hockey 365, on earlier in the week. On our Canada Day episode, we had Canadian Paralympian Amy Burke on. She's a favorite of many of our listeners, so there's been all kinds of great stuff going on. We do have a couple more guests lined up over the summer that we hope you'll stick around for, so make sure you're subscribed wherever you are. And if you don't mind, leave a rating and review right there on the app. It helps us out quite a bit. So with all that in mind, we'll wrap this one up. For AJ Jakubek and Rob Christie, my name's Matt Robinson, and thank you for listening.
I am unhappy with the confusing and at times confrontational nature of that meeting. I wanted it to go better. I wanted it to go better!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app. When you say Tall Can Audio a lot, it starts to sound weird.